I buried my sister Friday, and she had requested that whoever preached would preach on 1 Corinthians 15. So I've already got the message prepared. So, yeah, I love it. It's a beautiful chapter. It's got some great truth in it. She was saved, and she knew she was saved, and thank the Lord for her. I'm going to start reading at verse 50. 1 Corinthians 15, 50. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, take your word today and apply it to all of our minds and hearts. I pray, Lord, if there is one soul that is lost under the sound of my voice, that you would convict that person and bring them to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. I pray for every child of God that this is written to. I ask you, Lord, that you would lift our spirits and firm up our faith. And, Lord, help us to have anticipation for that which you're going to do. I pray you'd give me a freedom and ease to speak that only you can give. And we give you honor in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. You know, what a tremendous passage we've got here. What a passage. This passage is not to lost people. This passage is to the saved. I want you to look at some of the things he's telling the saved right there. First of all, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Now, there's a lot of people out there, there's a whole lot of religions out there that think their flesh and blood is going to inherit the kingdom of God. They think what they do in their flesh and in their body, that that's enough. They just be religious, just be good, just be the best that they can possibly be, and God's going to take them in and going to be good to them and save them and keep them for all eternity. But he makes a very definite statement here. It is just a statement of fact. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. That's something. Now, you in here that are saved have a spiritual life in you. You see, God is a spirit. And they that worship God must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Amen. Your flesh never did please God, never could please God, never has pleased God, never will please God. Flesh and blood cannot. Flesh and blood cannot. Now that doesn't mean you shouldn't try to improve your flesh. I hope you do. Bless your heart. All of us fail a whole lot with our flesh. And you ought to take baths more often because you are flesh.
That's right.
Amen?
Yeah.
You ought to work on your flesh all you can, but you know what you're going to come up? Failure. You're going to come up a failure. You're going to come up and find out my flesh is failing me. I simply not doing this, that no matter how much I try, I end up being in sin. I end up failing. My mind, my heart. You know what you need? A new birth. A new birth. Now over in John chapter 3, Jesus is talking to a great man. A man by the name of Nicodemus. And he was a great man. He was one of the 70 leaders of the nation of Israel. I mean, he was a judge of the nation. Let's say we were talking to the senators of the United States. His position in his nation would be like the senators of the United States. This man was educated. He was not one of these dumb fishermen down there on the side of the lake that Jesus come by and saved and turned them into great preachers. No, this man was trained. This man was educated. This man could read. This man knew the law. This man knew the Bible. This was a great man. He was respected of all these people, and he comes to Jesus by night, seeing the things that Jesus has done. And he said, "I know you're a teacher come from God." And Jesus said, "Nicodemus, you must be born again. You must be born again." Well, it took him aback. He said, "Here, I'm an old man. Am I going to enter my mother's womb to be born again?" He said, Jesus said, no, you're not understanding me. That which is flesh is flesh. You've had your fleshly birth. That's your water birth. By the way, that water has nothing to do with baptism.
That's right.
That water has to do with the water breaking in your mother's canal and you have given birth. That which is flesh. Never going to be anything but flesh. Going to die as flesh. He said, you need to be born again. Born out. Born of the Spirit. God is a spirit and you need a spiritual birth. You were born with a living body and a living soul and a dead spirit. You need to be born again. So I want to tell you today very, very plainly, if you've never been born again, you need it or you cannot enter heaven. You need it or you cannot be a part of God's family. Without being made spiritually alive by the new birth, by the Holy Spirit coming into your heart, you cannot have eternal life. And you're just flesh. And you're going to go on as flesh. And flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Now, this is a beautiful thing. Now, everything that's said in this passage that I've read to you is said to the born again. Are you born again?
Amen.
Well, this is going to apply to you then. If you're born again, this applies to you. First of all, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Only the born again, only the spiritually minded, only the spiritually alive can deal with God who is a spirit. God is a spirit, the Bible says, and we must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Your fleshly bowing, your fleshly scraping, your fleshly works and whatever really are not on the same plane with God. You know how you can work in this world as wonderful as it is? It's a wonderful world. We had a nice vacation, saw some glorious, absolutely glorious things. It just, I don't know how anybody could think they were an accident.
Yeah.
I don't know how anybody would think they came out of some big bang somewhere. There had to be a super mind. The great big God of the universe. You know, back when I was lost, I couldn't have believed in the evolutionary theory. It just never did make sense to me. I look at my watch and I say, there must be a watchmaker. Don't you think that same way? I look at this world and I say, there must be a God. Somebody big enough, smart enough to be able to create these things and do what's been done. I believe in God by what I see. Well, I tell you what, you need to be born again. And if you're born again, this applies to you. If you're born again, then you were born into the family of God by the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The Holy Spirit came into you, gave you new life, just like you had a physical life, and you fit in this world. You breathe air. Right? Boy, you eat the food that comes out, and I eat too much of it. And you need to sleep, man. You need to get a bed somewhere and crash, right? And I don't care if you're in the Virgin Islands and you walk out of the classroom and head for the beach. And don't study. You're fitting into this world of flesh and bone, this world of food, this world of physical things. You fit because you were born to fit in this world. God made it so. Well, by the same token, in order for you to have a relationship with a spiritual God, you need to be born again, born spiritually, made alive,
And then you can commune with God. You can listen to God. You can speak to God. You can work for God. You're going to go live with God forever. You must be born again of the Spirit of God. Now, let's look at what he says to these people who are going to be born again, that are born again spiritually in this life. He said, we're going to have some changes. Look at verse 51. I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound. Do you notice the clear fact statements, the way he writes it? The trumpet shall sound. I love it. I love it. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. You know what he's talking about? He's talking about the resurrection of the body. We put that old, broken, worn-out body into the ground Friday. It's going to go back to dust, what it was made from. But oh, I tell you, one day when this trumpet blows, that body's coming out of the ground, transformed into a spiritual body. A body that can commune with God, that can go back and forth between heaven and earth faster than Star Wars. Yeah, you think Star Wars is something. Take a look at Jesus.
Amen.
He's just been resurrected, man. He goes up to heaven. He tells Mary in the garden, don't touch me. Don't touch me. I haven't ascended to my Father yet. And then a day or two later, while he's in the room with us, he says, stick your hands in here. Stick your hand. Touch my side. Touch my hand. I mean, just as fast as that. And he could walk in, and with that new body, you know what he did with it? He ate fish. He ate fish. He said the spirit, in the sense of this ghost, doesn't have flesh and bone, as you see me have. You know what you're going to get when you're resurrected? A body just like Jesus Christ has. I mean, it is a glorious future you've got. You ought to be going around jumping up and down. You know, I really sort of think Paul had a death wish. God had shown him the third heaven. He'd been up there, heard things nobody else had ever heard. Things he couldn't even tell you. He never even wrote them down. But he said, oh, I've been up there and I don't like it down here. And the only reason why I'm staying here is to help you. Oh, I'll tell you, one of these days the graves are going to open up. When they hear the trumpet, they're going to hear it. And they're not going to come out the same body that went down.
Amen.
That body's going to be transformed, and it's going to be a body like the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's talking about the resurrection from the dead. Now, don't get me wrong. There are some people that teach soul sleep, that your soul is asleep in the grave, and that all the people that have died in all time past up to now, they are still asleep in the grave. They're not conscious. They don't know anything. That's not true. In 2 Corinthians 5:8, it says, to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord.
Amen.
When you are absent from the body, you are present with the Lord. And I'll tell you what, I've been to a lot of deaths. I have. I've been in nursing homes and hospitals when they're there, and 1 minute, 5 minutes later, they're not there. The body's still there. They're not there. They've gone. They've departed. They're absent of the body. The spirit went back to God that made it. I tell you what, it's a wonderful thing to be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord. I tell you what. You ever been gone from home a long time? And when you come home, how good it is. You're going to feel that way when you meet God. You're going to say, how good it is to be in the presence of my Lord. How good it is to be in the presence of God. You and I are looking forward to a tremendous transformation and change. That's what he's talking about right here. This tremendous transformation and change comes only to those that are born again.
Amen.
You ought to want to be born again. If you're in here and you're not saved, you ought to want to be saved. If you're in here and you're not sure you're right with God, that if you died right now, you know you'd go to heaven, you ought to want to get saved. Because I want to tell you, you don't have any guarantees of tomorrow. You may not live to be 75 like my sister did. There are a lot of graves in that cemetery that are little graves. There are a lot of graves in there that are young graves. And you know what? You got no guarantee of tomorrow. Now, you can not ride motorcycles and stay off of speeding trains and not ever fly a plane. That doesn't guarantee you a thing. Doesn't guarantee you a thing. You can drive under the speed limit everywhere you go. You can have all sorts of bags to cover you and protect you and whatever. That's not going to keep you from dying. You better just be prepared to die. He's talking about a resurrection here. He's talking about the last trumpet sounding. And when Gabriel blows his horn, when that trumpet begins to sound, all those dead are going to hear it. And if you're alive at that time, you'll hear it too. Now, they'll get a 6-foot head start on you. Because they said, we're going to go up together. So they're going to come out and then we'll go up with them. But he said, we shall all be changed. Now, notice, for this corruptible must put on incorruption. And this mortal must put on immortality. Now, I'll tell you, every day I live, I know I am mortal. Every day I live, I know I'm corruptible. That's why I have a shower at my house and a tub. And we keep soap. Because you're corruptible. I don't want you coming into church without showering at least once a week. The Saturday night bath ought to be something you ought to practice at least. Maybe every day for some of you, you're more corruptible than others. That's what our body's doing. You know what you're doing? You are falling apart. Gravity is taking hold on you. And I mean, it's doing a job. Look at there. Man, one arm gone. Look at that. He's up there hobbling. Some of you guys are all hobbling around here, you know. It's gravity, brother. It's corruption. That old body is corrupting. It's fading. It's falling away. I saw my sister go down with diabetes and heart troubles and finally just get down to where she just couldn't even get out of the bed. And then her eyes went and she couldn't see. And then they cut off her feet. And then her heart was only pumping a quarter of the way. It's corruption. You know what that is? That's mortality. And you know what you are? You're a mortal. You are a corrupting mortal. Some of you worse than others, some of you sooner than others, but it happens to every single one of us. Not a one of us can escape it. Only way you can escape that is to die young, and that's mortality that hits you right in the youth instead of in the age. He said this corruptible must put on incorruption. This mortal must put on immortality. You know what's going to happen to you when you rise from the dead, when this trumpet sounds right here and the voice of the archangel is heard and the saved that are alive rise up into the air and all of us get transformed? Ooh, you're going to be immortal. You're not going to look forward to 30 years or 70 years or 120 years or even Methuselah's 969 years. You're never going to age. I personally think you're going to be 33 and a half years old the rest of your life. I don't believe you're going to be 20. I'm sorry, 20-year-olds. I don't think you're there yet. I don't think you're going to be 50, 60, or 70 either. I hope not. I think you're going to be just like Jesus was when He died. I think He died in the prime of His life. You notice these professional athletes. They go up to about 32, 33, 34, and then they start going down. And by 40, you got any of them that can stay up there and still do it? They're doing pretty good. I want you to know they're exceptions. Oh boy, they've made their body carry them a whole lot longer than anything else. You and I are going to be immortal. We're going to be in the perfect stage of life. We're going to walk with Jesus. Let me show you something. The Bible over in the book of Revelation says in 14:13, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord. I love it. Blessed are the dead which die in the Lord. Now, death is an enemy to us. It stops our work. It stops our ministry. It brings a lot of sorrow and pain and other things to us. And yet, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord. He's talking about people that are saved, people that are in the Lord, people who belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. You die in the Lord, you're blessed. Boy, if you don't die in the Lord, you're cursed. But look, two times this happens in the book of Revelation. Look at chapter 19 and verse 10. One of the most encouraging verses of my life is Revelation 19:10. John has been seeing all these things, and he's coming down to the end. And this is the second time it happens, but I'm just reading one for you. In verse 9, he says, "And he saith unto me, Write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, These are the true sayings of God. And I fell at his feet to worship him." You know the Apostle John? He wrote the Gospel of John, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, and the book of Revelation. One of the most spiritual men ever live. Wrote more of the Word of God than almost anybody else, that may be Paul and Luke and Moses. He fell at his feet to worship him. He didn't fall down to worship an angel, friend. He didn't fall down to worship some other being. He thought he was looking at Jesus Christ. He would never have fallen down if he didn't think that was Jesus that had just spoken to him. He said, "I fell at his feet to worship him. And he said unto me, See thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant." Did you get that? "I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren." Did you get that? Look at this verse. Look what it tells you. "I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus." Worship God for the testimony of Jesus, spirit of prophecy. That's what you're going to look like. I'm going to look like that. Oh, yeah. I won't have to comb my hair and just be worried about how I look, you know. I'm going to look like Jesus, man. "I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren," is what he said. You and I are going to get an immortal body, an incorruptible body that will live forever, never die, never age. And it's going to look like Jesus in his resurrected state, in his glorified state. That's your future. Man, if you weren't even worried about your sin, you ought to be happy to jump on the train to get in on this. Man, once I got saved, I wondered why in the world I ran from this so long. You know, "No, I don't want to. No, no, I don't want to. No, I want to keep my sin. I want to keep having my own way. I want to." No, I didn't know what I was turning down. I didn't know what I was missing out on. I didn't know how stupid I was to be walking in this world thinking this is the most important thing. No, 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 no. Take a look at that. Take a look at that. Resurrected body, immortal body, incorruptible body, body to live for all eternity, and a body that looks like Jesus Christ. That's good. Now that's good. Go back to the text. Verse 54. "So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, Death is swallowed up in victory." Right now, today, it looks like death gets the victory over every single one of us. Some people, I don't know how many people you have seen die. I don't know how many loved ones you have had that are no longer there for you anymore. I remember, I don't think of myself as a very emotional person, more practical than emotional. But I am emotional. But I remember my father had passed away, and I buried him, same cemetery, just pretty close to where Evelyn is. And I went up to visit my old aunts that were still living in that old farmhouse. And I was there, and they said, "Well, you going to go by the grave?" I said, "Nah, I'm not going by the grave." "Oh, now, Linda, you got to go by the grave. My old aunt, you know, you got to go by the grave." "I don't need to go by the grave. My daddy's not there. That's his body. I know the Bible. I know what's going on. I don't need to go by there." "Linda, you are going to go by that grave. Now, I want you go by that grave." "Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am." You know, bossy old aunts.
Yeah.
I went out there and said, "Hello, Dad," and boo-hooed for about 30 minutes. Yeah, you miss some of these people. Death is like an enemy to us. I would love right now. My dad was 35 years older than me, so he'd be 100 now. 104. He'd be 104 right now. I would love to be able to walk over to my dad's house and say, "Hey, I want to run this by you. I'd like to know what you think. I'm thinking about this. I'm thinking about that. I'd like to know what you think." I would love to be able to do that. But I can't. Haven't been able to do it for years. You know something? Death is an enemy. Death hinders your work. Death brings you sorrow. Death brings you pain. And death has come on all of us because of sin. Sin is a stinging death. Adam sinned and death fell on all of us. And you and I have sinned and death falls on our family and falls on our happiness and falls on our joy and falls on our plans and destroys things. In 1978, my brother-in-law was 50 years old and he just died of a heart attack. Came in from work, ate his supper, sat down in front of the television to watch the news, and just went out. My sister didn't have any insurance. She didn't have a job. And she had two kids in school. And she didn't have any money and didn't know what money she had. Death's an enemy. She had to jumpstart her life. She had to go out and get a job. She had to find out how to pay the bills. She had to do all sorts of things. Death struck in that house, surprisingly, to a man that was a tremendous athlete. He was drafted by the Pittsburgh Pirates. He was all-city Memphis, basketball, baseball, and football. Tremendous athlete. But buddy, he walked in the door, sat down in his chair after eating his supper, and death hit him. And boy, did it strike his family. Struck his daughter, and struck his son, and struck his wife. Death's an enemy. Death's an enemy. I'm still preaching. Death hasn't stopped me yet. I'm still passing out tracts. Death hasn't stopped me yet. I'm still giving advice. Death hasn't stopped me yet. I'm 68 years old and I'm getting old. My mortality is showing. My corruption is showing. And I know I may not have very much longer. I might not have another day. But up to this point, death hasn't stopped me yet. But death is my enemy, and it's going to come one of these days. And I'll preach no more, I'll witness no more, I'll advise no more, I'll pray no more. Because my enemy will have stopped me. Death. Oh, listen to what it says. Death is swallowed up in victory. Let me tell you what. When that trumpet sounds, and those bodies come out of that grave and are transformed into a spiritual body, an eternal body like the Lord Jesus Christ has, and we go off to be with God, then shall be brought to pass, this is what's written, death is swallowed up in victory. Ah, there's a victory coming one of these days. You have to see it by faith today. You can't actually see it working today because, see, a lot of the people out there, they can say, that's just baloney. That's just religion. That's just something else. No. One of these days, this is going to take place. The trumpet's going to sound. The voice of the Lord is going to say, "Come up hither." And I want you to know those graves are going to open all around the earth. And that'll be the first resurrection. Wonderful thing. And death is going to be swallowed up in victory. Now, he goes on and he questions. "O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory?" Well, we ought to want to know the answer to those questions. So he answered in verse 56. "The sting of death is sin. The strength of sin is the law." We got a problem. Some of you sitting in this room, you got a real problem. You got unforgiven sin sitting right on you right now. And you're headed for death. And you die with unforgiven sin, you spend eternity in hell. You won't be in this group. You won't be in this crowd right here. I want you to know there's going to be a separation. Everybody's not going to make it. In fact, if I read my Bible right, the majority aren't going to make it. If you make it, you're in the minority. If you're among this crowd right here, you're in an exclusive club. The born again. The spiritually alive. The children of God. But thanks, look at verse 57. Thanks be to God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. I love Jesus. I love what this Bible teaches about Jesus Christ. My sins, oh, the thought of my sins, they have burdened me over and over again and still do today. But oh, Jesus paid for my sins.
Amen.
On the cross of Calvary, when He shed His blood, there God laid my sins on Him. And He washed me with His blood. He gave my sins to Him and took His righteousness and gave it to me. Thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. My sister was in this nursing home over here for about 3 years, maybe a little over. And she had a good mind most of the time. It was her body that was just worn out. Her mind and her spirit were pretty well there. And I don't know how many times, now I went there many times, they had a very good church. She had a very good church as far as visiting their sick. I don't know how many times I went there and somebody from her church is reading the Bible to her. Somebody from her church is feeding her. Somebody from her church is bringing some cassettes or something like that, or reading a book to her, or whatever. Over and over and over again. And I commended that church. It's a shame more of you don't spend more time to people you know that are in nursing homes. I know people in nursing homes that never get a visit. They got kids in this town, maybe some of you. They never get a visit. Well, I'm off my point. We would sit there and we would talk about different things. And many times I'd go by myself and she'd be by herself. And we'd sometimes close it out thinking about, thank you for the parents you gave us. Just country people. But oh, they had character. They knew the Lord. Very simple in life. Some of the things you think you can't live without, they didn't even want. Had no interest in. Some of the people you want to impress, they didn't care about impressing anybody. Just plain, simple country people who believed.
Amen.
And we'd thank the Lord over and over for the parents we had.
Amen.
And then, I don't think my sister and I ever voted for the same president. I don't think in all of our lives we ever voted for the same person. Maybe on chance. We just canceled each other out. We were different as night and day. Oh, but she was patriotic. She loved this country. Thank you, Lord, I was born an American. Thank you, Lord, I was born an American. And then, you see, when I got saved, a lot of people didn't believe I got saved. A lot of people didn't believe I could be saved. And some people came with a whole lot of skepticism. But my sister saw the change in my life and she came with a hunger. And I told her, if you want to know what happened to me, how it happened, because she was a good girl. She went to church and raised her kids in church and whatever. But she saw something that happened to me that really changed my life. And a year or two after that, she got it. I got it, Linda. I got saved. The Lord saved me. And He changed her. And we would sit there and say, thank you, Lord. We've been born again. Thank you, Lord, for the future. Thank you, Lord, for the resurrection. Thank you, Lord, for immortality. Thank you, Lord, for forgiveness of sins. Thank you, Lord, for Jesus Christ. You must be born again. ye must be born again. You cannot get into heaven without being born again. You can join every church in this town, be baptized in every baptismal pool out here, be sprinkled, poured, and done everything else. You can pray five times a day. You can bow down to your knees. You can help little old ladies at church. You can go visit everybody in the nursing home and go to hell. You must be born again. You must have a spiritual birth. Religion will not do it. I had religion 20 years. My sister had it 30 years. You must be born again. How do you get born again? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You recognize yourself as a sinner today. A sinner in the hands of an angry God. You recognize you failed the Lord, failed yourself, failed your family, failed everybody around you. You're just a plain old, sorry, selfish sinner. And that you need salvation. And you say, Lord God Almighty, I have heard. The gospel has told me. The preachers have said that you'd have mercy on a repentant sinner. And call on Him and ask Him for that mercy. Ask Him to forgive your sins. Ask Him to have mercy upon you, a sinner. Ask Him to save your soul. Ask Him to give you eternal life. My Christian friend, that you're already saved, look at that last verse. Therefore, big conclusive word, love it. My beloved brethren, be ye steadfast. Are you steadfast? Be ye steadfast. Unmovable. You get shaken out of your faith real quickly. I mean, somebody can just lead you off astray real easy. Unmovable. Always abounding. You get discouraged and just sort of not work. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. My Christian friend, do you understand that you're witnessing, you're praying, you're coming to church, you're reading your Bible, it's not in vain. It's never a waste. It may seem a waste. The devil may make you think it's a waste. It's never a waste. Never a waste. Whatever you do for Jesus, I want you to know He's going to notice. And He's going to reward. My Christian friend, how are you walking today? Well, you ought to be walking like you're walking the last day before glory.
Amen.
You ought to be living for Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And if you're here and you're not sure that if you died tonight you'd go to heaven, why don't you come down and tell me about it?
Amen.
Why don't you accept Christ as your Savior? Why don't you surrender your life to Him today? Let's stand and sing number 249.